Hi, I'm Hugh Weber. Welcome to the Potluck Society. Each week we gather here to tell stories of ordinary people building extraordinary communities in the state of South Dakota and beyond. This week we're going to tell the story of the storytellers. Kylie Leonetti and Christian Jensen are both natives of the Oda region. Kylie comes from East Oda, or as she likes to call it, Minneapolis. And Christian and I grew up in the same hometown, Milbank, South Dakota, though he was significantly younger. These two are a power couple, both in their personal and professional lives, and they have helped over the last several months to create an extraordinary film documenting the past, the present, and the future of an organization called Oda. Oda's only goal was to connect and celebrate the creatives of South Dakota, North Dakota, and Minnesota. And for 8 years, we did just that through a series of events, short films, and a whole host of creative experiences. As that organization transitions into a partnership with South Dakota Public Broadcasting, it was important for us to provide a capstone of those first 8 years. Christian and Kylie did exactly that. Over the course of 8 days, we interviewed over 11 individuals that had had regular contact or a relationship, sometimes even a collaboration, with Oda as an organization. These individuals told their stories in a vulnerable, personal, emotional way. I also shared the journey that I've made over the last 6 months, from CEO and founder of Oda to host of the Potluck Society. The film captures this as well. As we take the first steps in promotion and ultimately screening and sharing this film, we wanted to take a week to feature the filmmakers themselves. The music you'll hear throughout the episode is from Chris Heppola and Eric Struve, who scored the film. I hope you enjoy. When you spend 8 days in a Tahoe, traveling around the Oda region with two people of any sort, especially two married people, you get to know each other pretty well. But I still wasn't sure where to start this interview, so I simply asked them to tell me about Christian and Kylie Creative.
Start over. Kylie and Christian Creative. You alphabetized it, which most people do.
Kylie?
Do they?
Okay, I'm sorry. That's my bad. Tell me a little bit about Kylie and Christian Creative.
You know, in some podcasts, they don't edit for content, but feel free to edit anything that doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Oh, please, trust me. There will be plenty of editing. But tell me a little bit about KCC.
I hired Christian in 2009 to help me in a volunteer position at a church where we had 7 camera operators normally. And on that particular day, we had 4. So I needed to find some camera operators, and Christian agreed to come and volunteer. So I was working for my dad at the time, and I went into his office the next morning and I said, we had a new camera operator last night and everything went really well. I'm going to need a lot more contract labor budget to get this guy to come back. And my dad was like, what's the catch? I was like, he's very cute. That is the catch.
That is the catch.
Yep.
Wait just 1 second. Is this the story of Kylie and Christian Creative, or is this the love story?
I didn't get the contract labor budget to hire him, but I made up another project to have you shoot for me.
Yes.
I had written a feature film with my friend, and we wanted to shoot a trailer, a sizzle reel, all of that stuff, and it was just a really great excuse for me to have the guy that I like shoot things. He didn't know I liked him. All of my advances went over your head. I cooked you everything you like. You were using my computer. So it was like,
I liked you too. I would wait to go to the bathroom until I got home.
Cause you didn't want to go to the bathroom and defile my place. I'm like, what the heck? It was great.
You don't have to use it.
We're a cute couple.
I'm definitely going to use it. And you are a cute couple.
And it didn't start, you know, it started out just working on personal projects. And then, she had a production company with at the time someone else, and so I would help out on those projects. And in that time, I had a day job and where I was an in-house editor somewhere. And eventually, we had so much work together as freelancers that it just made sense to kind of make it official, which kind of also coincided with when we kind of got married too. So we kind of
made it was the same year.
Yeah, we kind of made it official in.
It won't take long to realize that Kylie is a power producer. She could have worked with anyone.
Yeah. Okay. So I actually did, when I met Christian, have another production company that I started with my childhood best friend. And our projects were varied. We worked on a lot of realty videos, worked on some science museum videos, although you helped me write all the proposals for that. But there were all kinds of projects we were doing. And I just didn't feel connected to the work. I felt like the work was something, maybe this is the dream, right, to punch out. But I felt like the work was something I could very easily click out of and never think about again. Unless it was in a negative way where I had to, you know, babysit or keep track of the work. And Christian made the work feel alive. It made it feel like something that I could really, it wasn't a crime to think about it if I was, you know, in the shower or have ideas about it if I were driving. And it wasn't like this thing I had to go do because it was the only trade I knew. It was like a choice and a lifestyle. And then it actually, it wasn't even really when we first started working together that I had that. I worked with other directors too. I had a couple of people bring me projects, films, and I produced 7 short films for one of our friends the summer that we got married. And it was never the same as working with Christian. It just never felt like the reward wasn't there. It wasn't, we weren't enjoying what we were doing. We were just doing it because that's what we were doing. And it was stressful and it wasn't easy like it was when I worked with Christian because he just has a good nature about him that makes even hard things easy.
It's clear that Christian makes Kylie come alive. But I also know that Kylie makes Christian think bigger and makes him extraordinary.
I come from like my film school, I think there's a very like kind of tunnel vision to a little bit of like film as this thing. I think sometimes when you come out of a situation like that, where you're very focused on film and film theory and film history and the art of film, you can kind of sometimes forget that films are eventually going to be seen by people in a room, and they're not all going to know who Godard is.
Wait, who is Godard? Somebody fire up the Google engine.
And they're not all going to have studied Eisensteinian montage theory. And so you still have to consider like the audience, and not in a like lowest common denominator way or anything like that, but that, you know, sometimes I'm maybe too subtle or something like that, you know, and so there's the higher level influence that she has in terms of like just getting, you know, like encouraging me to do it and not have given up years ago when it would have maybe made sense for some people to do so. But then there's also just the practical, like working together and she's also really good at not letting something just be good enough either, and kind of pushing me. You know, sometimes I get a project to a point where I'm like, this is good and this will satisfy the client. And she's like, yeah, but it could be better, you know, and it could be better. And so, you know, now that's also kind of gone further. She doesn't need to say that necessarily, you know, like my initial attempt is going further now. You know what I mean? And then there's also just the, she's my wife. So there's the inspiration there, you know, and at the end of the day, I want to just make something that she thinks that she'll like be proud of, you know, that she's like, I want to impress her too. You know, there's that aspect of it too, that I want to impress her.
But it's not just adorableness. It's also about his craft as a filmmaker.
I learned that, and it's something you know, obviously film is collaborative and it's not, you don't just make it alone in your apartment. But I think that there's kind of like a, how do you get from that point to the point where you're doing things? And I think like a director needs a producer, you know what I mean? And most great directors have very close partners in that way. And so I think that as a director, I found my producer.
So before these two get any more mushy, which is honestly one of my very favorite things, I wanted them to tell me what the goals, what the dream of Kylie and Christian Creative is.
The goal has always been to deliver a movie And we realize you can't do that without having a pretty big body of work. So we've tried in everything we do, whether it's a health and fitness video or an educational short film, to deliver a cinematic experience to our clients. So we'll do everything from fashion films, we'll do workout videos, recipe videos. We do a lot of educational videos. So we work with schools, higher level education as well. And what we're trying to do with every client is give them the experience that they would have if a movie was about them. So really research their world, get in their heads and see what would make them tick or make them...
How to best tell their story.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I think there's obviously some, you know, a workout video is hard. There's not much story there necessarily. But yeah, I think we're really focused on the story. Not that technically things don't look nice, but we're... I think something consistent with most of our clients is that, and what they seem to like a lot is that we are very focused and driven on telling their story.
And making them look good.
And making them look and sound,
yes,
you know, good. And I think there's like an intimacy, yeah, to it too, because it's just the two of us, but because we're not always, you know, tweaking a bunch of stuff, or we're not behind a bank of monitors, we're, you know, Kylie's interviewing someone, she's sitting right next to the camera, not far from them.
I can say from firsthand experience that this is absolutely true. The way these guys produce and direct and film is intimate. It has a certain vulnerability and personal feel to it that is unlike anything else I had experienced. But it was time to talk specifically about the Oda documentary, so I asked them to share how it all started from their perspective.
This one's a little unique. It's kind of our bridge to Terabithida a little bit. It's like that path to filmmaking that we want. We want our stories to end up becoming feature films someday, but it's really hard to make that leap when you're doing a lot of smaller brand 60-second videos. So when our friend Hugh, hello.
Just in case there's any confusion, she's talking about me, Hugh Weber, your host, in my role as the leadership of Oda.
When you approached us with the idea to take something you'd already been working on for the better part of a decade and culminate it in a film, it was kind of the opportunity of a lifetime. We've seen the Oda work from Minneapolis. We've seen by attending an event, and we've also done a couple of collaborations within Oda, but to be the ones charged with the task of wrapping it up and, you know, putting a bow, however off-center, on it, that was an honor.
Christian remembered the beginning just a little differently.
Well, it's funny because I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking to someone about it, and I think it started first as like a 15-minute video that was going to be at the finale, or at least that's when we started talking about doing something like this. That was going to be a wrap-up of what Oda was, and that somehow progressed into a, you know, 10-day shoot and now a feature-length film.
Projects with me have a certain way of growing. What am I supposed to say?
There was the Oda Builders program where you provided resources to artists in the area to finish a project or get started on something, or you just generally give them wings to lift off. And I think that this project for me has become maybe like the last builder's project, you know, where you've given resources and an opportunity to a couple artists in the area to not just tell Oda's story, but make something that we can show the world, you know, and you know, you maybe it's maybe given us a platform for that. And I think that also through the process, you know, for me growing up in Milbank.
Milbank High School, all for you, loyal to our colors, true. Oh. Did I just see that? That just happens sometimes.
When I was graduating, I was going to go to film school, and people would ask, what are you going to go to school for? And I would say, filmmaking. And they would say, oh, so you'll work at like Kodak. And so I think in their head, I would be on like an assembly line making film. And I think the idea that someone from Milbank could make a film that people would go to a theater and see was that that idea wasn't there. And Oda, to me, I think has, you know, trying to connect that idea that, like, yes, you can be a kid in Milbank, South Dakota, and you can make films, and those films can be seen in front of people. You can be a filmmaker and or any kind of artist or whatever. And so, you know, it's kind of like driving through the Oda region making this film. It's not the Oda that I necessarily grew up in, you know. And so for me, it was really fun to spend time with someone like, you know, Tyler Reed and walk down Art Alley and you know, feel like this could be in Minneapolis too. You know, in terms of, you know, Minneapolis being the kind of in this area where the artists tend to be and the big important art galleries are and stuff like that. So to me, we've been following Hugh and telling the story of Oda, but in a way it's very personal as well, for me. And there, you know, things that Hugh said or other people we've interviewed that are like, wow, you're like taking the words out of my mouth. Like I would say that about this experience or this region or whatever. And so it's interesting, in telling other people's stories, you kind of are telling your own story, you know, and that's something I didn't necessarily expect to happen, but it's something that did happen.
Pardon me, it's a little dusty in here. Listening to this for the fourth or fifth time as I edit, it still makes me emotional because I think this is all that I really hope this film would do, and for it to happen for Kylie and Christian was really touching. I had never considered this as the 27th Oda Builder or Trailblazer project, but hearing Christian say it was clear that I'm now doing that unconsciously, that it is indeed exactly what it is. Once I got myself back together, I asked them to consider what they wanted the story to say to others.
I have a lot of friends in the coastal cities, and something I hear a lot is that they just couldn't jive in the Midwest, or they couldn't do the thing they do there in the Midwest, and or they just like couldn't find people to connect with, or they couldn't find that group of people that liked the same types of things or that were creative. And so I would hope that this film would show not just the country but the world that this is a region full of creative people, full of artists, full of community builders who want similar or the exact same things as people who will move to New York or LA want. They want to have experience, exposure, and they want to make their mark in the world. And that's not something that's unique to just the people who pack up and leave. The people who are still here are doing something about that, and I would like to show my friends in New York that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a selfish endeavor, but
I think too, if it encourages, if someone picks up a camera and makes a film, then that's great, you know.
Or if someone who's contemplating leaving doesn't.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing, is that I've thought a lot about leaving, and I've thought about where I would go, and I can't imagine living somewhere other than Minnesota or South Dakota, maybe North Dakota. But definitely the lower Odas. I think it has restored my faith in what I knew all along, which is that if you have the tenacity and a good community of people, you can do anything. And really, even without that second part, the internet makes it really easy to find that group of people, even if you live somewhere where they don't live. So I think if people, like, for example, when we had been to this Sioux Falls Design Center to film with Rod and Hugh, the comments I was getting on social media were, Sioux Falls has a design center. Where is the design center? And it was a girl who's a graphic designer who has a decent job in Minneapolis, but I would venture to say if she would just stuck it out and waited for Sioux Falls to go the direction that it was already going, she would have found maybe the kind of job that really fulfills her right where she's from. So I think if it can inspire people to stay, not just so they can say they did and not because we want a community of lifers, but just because of the reasons they leave not being real reasons anymore. There's really no reason to leave. The internet and Amazon make it impossible to tell me that you have to leave to fulfill your dreams. Amazon especially. You can get toilet paper delivered tomorrow.
We could no doubt talk forever about the modern marvel of next day toilet paper, but I've still had this struggle about how to exactly explain what this documentary is. Christian had a fantastic frame for how he explains it.
Yes. I called it at one point in the editing a collage of conversation. And I think because that's what it is, you know, an interview really is best when it's like a conversation. And so there's the interviews which are conversations. And then we have what we called walk and talks, which are basically when people are walking around talking to the camera or talking with Hugh, and those are conversations.
All conversations.
And you know, I think the you know, that's just a word that applies to so many things in the art world and in what you're trying to do with community is conversation, you know. So it's kind of a collage of conversation. And I think of it kind of like you look at like a collage in a gallery or something, you know, and it you don't always, you know, you see parts of images and parts of phrases and they all come together to make one big piece. But individually, if you look at just the corner, it maybe you get halfway through a thought and then you go, you see something else next to it. And I guess the editing and the structure of it is kind of like that in that, you know, it's a collage. It's a collage in terms of the people, but a collage in, you know, sometimes we're shooting on an iPhone or a GoPro or a drone, or sometimes on the A camera, you know? And so there's a collage of quality and things like that, which I like. But then I think the conversations, you know, there's, you might start one thought and then go to another thought and then come back to that thought. But really they're all just kind of one big conversation.
There it is. Regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of the type of art or type of creativity we bring to our communities, regardless of the devices or tools we use, we're all just part of one big, extended, beautiful conversation. And Kylie Leonetti and Christian Jensen have captured that. In the coming weeks, we'll share the screening dates and times. We'll make the film available online. But today, I just want to thank you for everything you've done, Kylie and Christian. You have created a beautiful film that serves as an incredible capstone for the 8 years of ODA and for the foreseeable future. Our action antidote for the week is for you to ask one question of someone that you spend a lot of time with. Simply ask them, what creatively inspires you? If the response is something noteworthy or something you'd like to share, you can place it on social and hashtag it PS010, as this is our 10th episode, or you can send it to me at hugh@hughweber.com and I'll find a way to share it with the world. By asking questions and really listening, we learn something about others, but I think we learn something about ourselves as well. That's it. You did it. Thanks this week, first and foremost, to Kylie and Christian Creative. These two have captured the spirit of ODA in a clear, tangible way, have shared vulnerably their own creative journeys, and have made me better as a storyteller. Thanks to South Dakota Public Broadcasting for their continued support, for their partnership on this podcast and radio segments, and for joining us as partners on the screenings of the film throughout the region. Those dates will be coming soon. Thanks to Carl Koiser for his continued support on the audio. And this week to Chris Heppola and Eric Struve for their support with the music for the program. It has been wonderful seeing you here again at the Potluck Society. I hope we'll see you soon. And as always, don't forget to bring an idea to pass.